In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go.
Let us indeed talk movies. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10 at 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everybody in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge is with us. Good Monday to you, sir.
And to you as well, sir.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. How are things?
Good, very good. Back at school today.
Nice.
That was good. No students yet, but you know, getting the room arranged,
sure,
getting a feel for things.
Yeah, I imagine after having done it as long as you have, I imagine it's really tough to get all that stuff together at this point. Like it's really you really agonize over every.
Oh yeah. And I do see, the young teachers putting up their bulletin boards and decorating door. I do not decorate my door.
You don't decorate your door?
I do not.
That I'm sure that comes as a shock to everybody out there.
I did put some things up on the wall. It's not. Last couple of years, my room kind of looked like a bunker. But I want to focus on me and the learning.
That's right. You don't want to distract them.
Right, right, exactly. But we got a few things up. We're ready to go. Because here's the thing. You're in my classroom. The last thing you're going to be doing is looking at the walls.
It's true.
You're going to be ducking. You're going to be looking at the student next to you saying, is this guy crazy?
Yeah. Is everything okay?
Especially when the freshmen come in. Because, it's a performance.
Yes.
And it's if you can get them in the first couple days and reel them in, you got them for the year.
Oh, sure.
So you got to go out there and dazzle them. I can't imagine. Hi, class. How are you?
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Kimball. It's nice to see you. We're going to learn about government. I can't. I'm on top of a desk. I'm singing, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Yes, exactly. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. Got to spend a little bit of time out and about. Have a wonderful story. Got out of the movies and went to visit Bangor Beer Company, and that's where I got the news that Andrew Luck had retired.
You hadn't drafted him for your fantasy.
I had
team,
not. Yeah, our draft hadn't gone yet.
Like
so.
OJ.
who was very vocal about it apparently on the internet. So Jesus, watch out, Andrew.
Exactly. Stay low.
Yeah. No, you don't want any part of that because he will come for you. It's pretty firmly established on a number of levels that OJ's not messing around. But no, other than that, no, it was good. And, yesterday pretty quiet, did a fair amount of writing, and then did the usual Sunday stuff like the farmer's market, fun things like that. It's funny, caught the tail end of your conversation with Mike Lowe. I did have a chance to read that Press Herald story on, on Charlton, man, Mike Lowe, he's good.
Oh, he's so talented.
Yeah, he's good at what he does.
Yeah,
yeah, no, it's a good story. It's fascinating, and just as a little whistle wetter, readers of The Main Edge are gonna get a little bit of perspective on the University of Maine's football prospects this upcoming season.
Yeah,
from someone who might know a thing or two.
Yeah, we did a little stuff. Did a little preview. Looking forward to that. It was fun putting some thoughts together on the team, and I love too. Is there another Division I football coach in the country who was a philosophy major?
It's so good. It's so good. And it's just like, you have to wonder, and you have to think that's the sort of thing that's going to have, a positive impact in a locker room. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Like just, and then you don't, it's nice to see, it's nice for these kids to see, there's more than one path.
Yeah. And it's a game. It should be fun. Yes, you're working hard. But it needs to be fun as well. And I think Nick will keep it that way.
That's right.
Let's talk movies. You saw a couple this weekend. Where do we begin?
There was a good one and a bad one. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Oh, well, your preference.
Let's talk about Angel Has Fallen.
Okay. I don't know anything about this movie.
Well, you might recall back in 2013... we had the two terrorists attack the White House movies.
Oh, yes.
We had White House Down, and then we had Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh, okay.
So Olympus Has Fallen stars Gerard Butler, And that has become an inexplicably popular franchise. And now let me, I say this directly from experience. Like, I went to a Friday afternoon showing of this movie, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday, beautiful summer day outside, like any number of things that people could be doing. And yeah, the theater was half full.
Wow.
And I'm like, who are all these people? Like, I'm used to showing up at the movies and there being like a handful of seats filled. Mm-hmm. And there were just all these people here, and they were really here for Angel Has Fallen.
Wow.
For the third installment, not the second, mind you, the third installment in this increasingly absurd kind of series. Gerard Butler plays Mike Banning, Secret Service agent, who is either really good at or really terrible at his job, maybe both. Because while the president never dies on his watch, it sure does seem to get into a lot of trouble.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This time, no different. Only this time, Mike Banning himself is framed for an assassination attempt, a drone-driven assassination attempt on President Trumbull, played by Morgan Freeman.
Of course.
Because, of course.
Yes.
And then, you know, he has to go on the run and prove his innocence. Stop me if you've heard this one before, Rich.
It seems vaguely familiar.
And that's basically it. He has to figure out who he can trust, who he can't. Turns out a lot of people he can't trust. Only a few people he can. You know, he's dealing with, you know, he's got his wife at home, played by Piper Perabo. You know, he's got his good buddy from the military who's kind of rooting for him to take this new position with the director of Secret Service, which obviously, you know, there's a kink thrown in when, you know, that he's accused of trying to assassinate the president of the United States. He's got an FBI investigator played by Jada Pinkett Smith who's after him. He also has an encounter with a figure from his past from long ago, played by none other than Nick Nolte.
Whoa.
Yeah, Nick Nolte shows up about halfway through and is probably the best part of the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Like, look, man, this movie, it doesn't make a ton of sense. There's no real reasoning behind any of the decisions that anyone makes. You know, it would be, it's remarkable how quickly everyone is more than happy to just be like, oh, yeah, no, this guy who has been a trusted advisor to multiple presidents and protected them from massive terrorist attacks on a number of occasions. He definitely tried to kill the president with this incredibly elaborate scheme. A scheme which, by the way, might just lead the United States into war. against the Russians, who intelligence agencies believe are responsible for recruiting Mike Banning into making this assassination attempt, and with President Morgan Freeman in a coma, it's up to Vice President Tim Blake Nelson to make the decisions that need to be made, make no mistake, Tim Blake Nelson goes for it in this movie.
Well, he does in everything.
And it's so great because it's like, it's one of those things where he's like, he's 100% invested in what he's doing, and he also knows how ludicrous it is. And so when you have that combination in a movie like this, it's fun to watch. Like, look, Rich, this movie's not good. I think we can all kind of agree that it's probably not going to be good.
It doesn't have to be good.
Well, and that's the thing. It's very successful in that, you know, both of these movies made like, did big box office, you know? And obviously there's an audience because, again, the theater was half full on a Friday afternoon, a beautiful Friday afternoon here in Maine. So, yeah. And, again, like, Gerard Butler, like, I rag on the guy, but, I mean, let's be honest. Like, he's like mayonnaise that can talk. Like, that's what Gerard Butler is. Like, he's, like, just this... His doughy face and his empty eyes just sort of shuffling to his marks and mumbling his lines. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay. So it's like, you know, if someone stuck like a tire inflator in Bruce Willis for like 5 minutes, like that's Gerard Butler. Like he's just puffy.
I think he's putting this in his bio now. My doughy face and my empty eyes.
And it's just tough. It's tough that he's the guy who's headlining this. But again, people seem to love it, and while obviously I think I've made it pretty clear that this wasn't for me, I can say that it's definitely an improvement on the really pretty terrible and kind of racist London Has Fallen, which was the second movie in the franchise. And so we can only assume it was number one at the box office this weekend. Like, we can only assume it's gonna keep going. Like, it has opened up. The last one did very well overseas, so we can only expect more of the same.
There you go.
So here's another $200 million entry into the Fallen franchise.
All right. How about Ready or Not?
it's funny because I really dug this movie.
Yeah.
It's like doing this sort of genre mashup kind of thing is hard. Like, especially when you're talking about like horror comedy, like finding the right balance between those two things is really tough. This movie does a really good job of it. I'm gonna give you the elevator pitch because it's so fascinating. So this woman named Grace, played by an actress by the name of Samara Weaving, and remember that name because this woman's going to be a star. I really believe this. She's getting married into this family. They're a rich, like old money, like gaming family. Like, that's where they made their money, was in gaming. They started out in playing cards, and it's sort of, we get a whole history of the family's, the family's wealth, along the way. They're called it's the Le Domas family. And, this family, has a very specific set of traditions when it comes to new people joining the family. The wedding has to take place at the palatial Le Domas estate. And at midnight, on the wedding night, the whole family comes together. Father, mother, crazy aunt, assorted siblings. And they all have to come together and they sit. And there's this creepy box that has all these sorts of weird family lore things attached to it. And the new person, the new addition to the family, has to draw a card, and everyone plays the game that is on the card. It's usually pretty innocent, and you know, like checkers or you know, old maid, like games like that. But Grace draws the card, hide and seek, and her new husband Alex gets all crestfallen, and you know, and she, meanwhile, she's like, oh, hide and seek, hooray. And they're like, yeah, okay, so you have to go hide somewhere in the house, and we're going to come find you. And so she runs off and, like, jams herself into a dumbwaiter and is like, okay, we're going to play hide and seek. Meanwhile, back in the, you know, in the game room, all the family are just grabbing all these assorted medieval, like, weapons, like crossbows and giant axes. There's a couple of muskets and single-shot pistols and whatnot. Traditional weapons. And apparently, part of the tradition is if someone draws hide and seek, the family has to hunt the person down and ritually kill them before dawn.
Because, that's a fine tradition.
You know, and that's basically what happens. That's the gist of this movie. It's this family hunting this woman throughout their gigantic maze of a house. And she basically has to survive till dawn. It's the remarkable thing about it is how funny it is, because they do a great job of sort of, you know, the trope, the sort of final girl kind of trope in horror movies, where it's like, you know, it's like there's the sole survivor and all that stuff. They take that and basically sort of turn it on its head, and they do it in a very knowing way. There are a couple of really great sort of meta moments where we're sort of invited to view it from the perspective of Grace, the woman who's living it, in a way that's really very, very funny. That's counterbalanced with a number of pretty brutal and visceral, things get bloody and pretty gross in a couple of places. And it's occasionally played for laughs, and it's occasionally played seriously. And they do a really great job of balancing that tone. Like, it never feels uneven that way. And again, like I said, it's a delicate balance to strike. And, you know, for every, you know, Evil Dead or Cabin in the Woods where it works, you have a half a dozen third tier streaming algorithm options that failed miserably. And so for them to really find something that works as well as this does is really impressive. Like I said, Samara Weaving is legit. Like, not only is she super engaging in terms of being just her performance, she's got a real set of pipes on her. Like, she's got like a good horror movie screen. And it's remarkable how big a difference that makes. I know it sounds like a small thing, but someone who really is able to sort of capture that sense of terror when something crazy is happening, it's really quite remarkable. Wonderful cast. Couple of highlights. Adrian Brody is in it. Adam Brody.
Adam Brody. Yeah.
Adrian Brody. That's a very different movie.
Oh yeah.
Annie McDowell is in this movie as well as the sort of family matriarch who she has a couple of really good moments. The whole thing, it's got some nice twists and turns, some unexpected directions, some where you think you know what's going to happen and it doesn't, and some where you think something's going to happen and then it does, but then it doesn't. It's very well constructed, and the ending, the last 15 minutes are just absolutely bonkers in the best way, in a way that again, like I said, like it's like, oh, they're not going to do this. Oh, maybe they are going to do this. Oh wait, no, they're not. Oh no, they're definitely going to do this. And so it's that kind of roller coaster kind of vibe. I was expecting to like it. I was not expecting to like it as much as I did. Like, I had a really good time with this movie, and especially for this time of year, like, to get a movie like this entertaining, like, and this, like, frankly good, is a real pleasant surprise. So Ready or Not, man, it's worth seeking out.
Oh, yo. Alan Adams of the Main Edge putting a pretty bow on it here, like he do. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.